welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Glauber.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Devil Daggers and Neon Strukt.
Die Augen der Welt,
which is Eyes of the World.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll talk about Devil Daggers first.
Yeah.
Nick, tell me about Devil Daggers.
Sure. So it is a first-person shooter that came out just on Windows 18th of February of this year. And yeah, it's got real classic FPS feel with awesome sprite-y textures. And it is about the shortest played game that you or I will have ever reviewed on the show.
Yeah, it reminds me, it's like Super Hexagon.
Yeah.
In that respect.
It's an FPS style Super Hexagon. You are going to die, and you're going to die very quickly. And the whole point of the game is just to survive as long as you can, and it builds this whole leaderboard system around that. So the only thing you're doing is trying to get ahead of all your friends on your Steam friends list.
Yeah. And the person who has like the world record, it's like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Still not very long. And you can watch replays of everyone on the scoreboard. And it doesn't look like anybody's like hacked their way to the top or anything either. So
yeah, it seems legit.
So that's neat. You can kind of get a sense of what people are doing right that you are not by watching other people play.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very simple. You just have left click to, if you hold it down, you shoot like this stream. It's like blood stream. And if you just click it, you get kind of the shotgun burst.
They're clearly daggers, Nick.
I am sorry. They're daggers.
It's okay. You're devil daggers.
Yeah, you pick up a dagger right at the start to initiate the game. But then there's just all sorts of spawning stuff around you. Typically, the first couple things that come out are just skulls out of these like big coffin things that have a point that you can hurt them on. But the monsters get more intense from there. So
yeah, I mean, I think there's as far as I can tell, I think there are five monsters.
There aren't very many.
Yeah, so you have these initial things that are these spawning beds,
right,
for these skulls. And the skulls are really like, that's what I died to all the time, because they swarm you. It's really, and the game tells you how you died.
Mm-hmm.
It might always have swarm. And the way those work is they spit out a bunch of skulls, and they spit out one skull with horns. And then once you kill the skull with horns, then the generator becomes vulnerable. So you can start killing it.
Generator is vulnerable right off the bat if you get around to its crystal thing.
What's the skull with horns do then?
Because
he doesn't come after you. He just kind of hangs out.
He just kind of stripes around the battlefield. But I've been killed by him a few times. He definitely does attack you if you get, I think, in a straight line from him.
Oh, okay.
So he just has, he has a specific attack pattern.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I thought they were tied because he always kind of comes up at the end. It like barfs out a bunch of skulls and then he pops out, and I thought they were together. But so you pretty much are just trying to control those things. And then if you're doing well enough, you see the other monsters, which are these spider skull things,
mm-hmm,
which are really great looking.
They are great.
And these centipede things. And then watching someone do a run, there's like a gigantic boss turret thing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
And that's really it. Like, it's very simple. Out of all these ones that we've done, like, it is by far the most like basic-y and arcade-y.
Yeah.
And hardest.
It's really, really difficult.
Yeah, I have no, like, I watch someone do it, and there's something going on with, like, hitboxes, where, like, he was kind of juking under the spider skull's legs, mm-hmm, and was not getting killed, and it looked like they were clearly touching him. And I don't know what, it's hard for me to tell what he was doing differently than I was.
Yeah.
Other than just being maybe, like, just faster.
I mean, I've noticed that I've managed to dodge a swarm when I didn't think I should have been able to. Like, I kind of just turned around and realized I was like in the midst of a swarm, and I was like, how did I not get killed?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely some hitboxy stuff going on. I think it's pretty forgiving there, but that's where forgiveness ends.
Yeah, that Devil Daggers where forgiveness ends. It's really hard to tell, like, in doing this from first person, it's very similar to like kind of problems I had with Paranautical Activity, where like if things are really fast and chasing you, it's hard to do that in first person.
Yeah.
I still like it a lot. And part of it is just the aesthetic, because it's really tense and unnerving and gross.
It's the first couple of times I played it, like, there was a stress level that I haven't like seen in a game this short in arcade before.
Yeah.
It just like, I had physical like tension trying to dodge all this stuff. And I don't think there's anything that's been, quite so easy to die and start up again that I managed to feel that way, because I know that I can just start over again. I only lasted 2 minutes. But yeah, something about the battlefield just being full of stuff that's chasing you down is it's real stress inducing.
Yeah, I don't really understand. Like I don't understand how people do it for 10 minutes.
No.
You know, like it and it doesn't seem like very much, but it's like, it is so tense. And when the Super Hexagon comparison, like Super Hexagon is easier than this.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, like that's a really hard game, and good, you know, good runs are measured in minutes rather than nothing, rather than, you know, an hour. But this seems even tougher than that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but it looks really cool. It's really foreboding and metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like fairly easy recommendation, for just like a pick up and play kind of thing to play very briefly.
Yeah. And I can't imagine this won't be 99 cents at some point.
That's a thing too. It's like, it's priced at $5, and I try not to get into value ratio stuff here. But for something you're going to play, like I can only stand to play one or two runs at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard to feel like I've gotten, like there are games I'll play for longer and get more enjoyment out of for $5.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I think that 99 cents is probably a price point for it. Like that seems.
I think so too. And maybe they couldn't have made their money back well with that. You know, like maybe that's too low. And I understand that too. You know, for the developer, but it's just like it is so harsh.
Yeah.
Like I almost feel like it could have done with easing up just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I mean. The main thing that attracted both of those to it is just the aesthetic is cool as hell.
And yeah, the aesthetic, it's amazing looking.
That's pretty much all I get out of it for the most part. I'm not into super arcadey shooters anyway. I was never like an early FPS guy. So like this primarily is just like cool as fuck to look at.
Yeah, it's like a mix. It's like a way faster arcade version of like In the Kingdom or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like having something like this mixed with like maybe if there were quiet moments between these bits.
Yeah, waves.
And it was a little bit, yeah, something like that. I might be kind of, you know, maybe a little bit more into it. But it is like, I'm reading it, like looking at a review right now, and the reviewer who has put a bunch of time into it, you know, his top time was 115 seconds.
Wow.
You know, it is so quick, that it is, you know, it is in that one respect that you can look at games. It is hard to recommend. In a lot of other respects, it's easy to recommend.
I agree.
So it is I didn't really realize this. We didn't do this on purpose, but it's kind of like the visually stylish, pairing for this episode.
Yeah,
like the classic takes on old games but with these really strong visual identities.
Yeah.
So like if Devil Daggers is an exploration of an aesthetic, Neon Struct is 100% an exploration of an aesthetic.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and jump into that. So Neon Struct is a first person stealth game. It came out on Windows, Mac, and Linux in May of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And the developer is Minor Key Games, primarily from my understanding, this guy David Pittman, and mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just a real like low polygon art style, and the gameplay is very like Deus Ex inspired. Like it's a stealth game, but without weaponry and a lot of routes to go through to get through a level.
Yeah, it's the same people. So this is the same company that made Eldritch. Is their follow-up to Eldritch.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
They did a couple super small games in between there, but this is their next major release. And like that's from the huge BioShock 2 out. Like all the indie games that came out of BioShock 2 were really great,
right?
For those developers. So this is one of them, and you can see that kind of like influence there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird. Like before I even started playing this was something I was on the Slack channel was kind of yearning for, kind of thinking about like how there aren't very many like first-person RPG Deus Ex them ups,
yeah.
You know, like I like vent crawling,
yeah,
games that aren't like you know, Sam Fisher,
mm-hmm.
like that aren't like super serious stealth,
right.
And this like, and I was like thinking about why nobody does that in an indie space when like every other kind of indie genre or every other kind of genre there is kind of like a non-AAA way to capture that that core gameplay,
right?
And this just about does it. It leans on stealth a lot harder than even than Thief does.
Yeah.
You know, for those things. And it's like, it works for me as somebody who likes stealth, but I like stealth games a lot. I like getting caught and I like preying on people as a stealth game. Right. Like I'm a real predator in these things. And this takes away a lot of, like, you can knock people upside the head from behind. But it is not about like clearing a level to explore it. You know, it is about, like, you're rewarded on every level for being actually stealthy. And that's hard for me. Like, I'm not very good at it.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I completely ignore the, like, don't knock anybody out challenge, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I want to be able to knock people out. And it just makes things so much easier.
Yeah, I need to clear my path. If I need to backtrack through anything, I don't want to have to get back into a space that I already managed to puzzle my way out of.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I knock everybody out. I mean, I've had a lot of fun with it. I think the story is really engaging. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
You're this agent named Jillian Cleary, mm-hmm. who was a secret agent and then gets booted from the agency she works for, and now she's on the run. And that's kind of the first three levels, and probably as much as we'll want to go to in the story without some spoilery section. But
yeah, and I haven't beat it, so when we get to the spoiler section, I can't tell you how it ends.
Yeah, I haven't beat it either, so we're not going to spoil the ending for you, but we will talk a little more in depth about where the story goes beyond that point.
I'm probably, if I had to guess, 2 to 3 hours away from the ending. It's probably a 6-hour game.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's lengthed about right. It does the thing that Deus Ex does, where there are some kind of downtime moments, which I really appreciate. Like, there are some times where you don't have to hide, you're just in kind of shop areas, but they're not as like full of secrets as the Deus Ex ones are. That's one of my favorite things that happens.
Yeah, they're pretty small levels, and without some of them have some space to explore, but typically if the level's any bigger than, you know, if there's any more stuff to do other than just kind of shop around and you know, check out a particular room or something, then something's going to happen in that level.
Yeah. They don't have like a hub, you know, like, it's not like, one of my favorite things in Deus Ex is like, oh, you're in New York, like, go break into these apartments that have nothing to do with the story.
Yeah.
You know, do that kind of stuff. And there's not that, but it does a lot of things. It has a lot of kind of mechanics that I haven't really seen before, that I think are really cool. Like, one of the things, you know, you're trying to keep a low profile, cause you're on the run, and the game actually simulates that really well, where if you know, talking to certain people is like a risk reward thing, mm-hmm. because you never know whether they're going to report you or recognize you.
Right.
And that has consequences for, I didn't do it because I was trying to be careful about that, but early on there's a level where if you talk to a hotel clerk, they will tip off the police, and then the next level has more guards.
Yeah, I actually did that, so,
which is, that's super cool.
Yep.
I love that. I love the you have, as far as money goes, you have cash and credit, and credit, you have a bunch of it kind of starting out, and cash is kind of harder to come by, but credit, if you use that also tips off the agency as to where you are, because you're leaving a trail. That's really cool. I haven't seen that before.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a really cool portion of it. The actual main stealth mechanics of it are pretty much just based on this light system. You mm-hmm. have a meter at the bottom of your screen that kind of shows how exposed you are, and that's mostly via light sources. So you can a lot of times kind of just shut out the lights in a room and essentially be standing right next to a guard as it walks its path and take them out from there, or, you know, steal something off of them or avoid them that way. So so primarily it's just about kind of manipulating lights and maneuvering around the search patterns of the guards. But you do get some cool items to help you out along the way too. So in every level there's 5 hidden caches, and those are tallied up in your score at the end. So kind of an exploration bonus. But on top of that, each time you find one of these, you get a cache coin, which can be used as a noise distraction and will be the item you have the most of. So the one you'll use the least sparingly. Mm-hmm. But there's also these stims, a few different kinds. So there's a all-out stealth one, which temporarily just makes you entirely undetectable. But then there's also one that makes it so that you can't be heard. So you can kind of just stay out of line of sight and you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And one that makes you really fast. And I believe a fourth one that I'm not remembering.
Oh, there's a hacker one.
Oh yeah, one that makes it insta-hacks everything, right?
Yeah. Yep. Hacking is really interesting in this game. You can hack everything just like you can in Deus Ex. It's done through a breakout clone.
Yeah, breakout clone hacking game.
Which is, I love that it happens in real time. Mm-hmm. Like, if time froze when you did it, it would ruin it, you know, because then there would be no tension. So you have to kind of not be exposed when you're going to hack something.
Right.
You want to take out the guards, or you want to get, like, find a place where they can't see you while you do it. Things like that. I'm actually, like, way in favor of that. I think the thing with the items that kind of bums me out is that they're so sparse.
They are very sparse.
Like, it's very hard to justify using one that makes you invisible or silent when, like, at the point I was in the game, after doing a decent amount of exploration, I had like 2 of each, I think.
Yeah, I had one stealth one and had to use it to get out of a very shitty situation, which I kind of prided myself on actually using my resource limited items, because I'm so bad about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't have that you know, get out of jail free card anymore. So if I ever got into the same situation, which I'm probably going to because I'm not very good at stealth games, I'm going to be, you know, shit out of water. But
shit out of water. Like that old saying, like just like a shit out of water. That shit's just flopping around on the ground. Can't.
Yep, I'm gonna be in deep shit and out of water. So
yeah,
it's both at the same time. But but
just breathing down your ass. Yeah, make fun of me.
The nice thing though is that it has a quick save and quick load system. So when you're coming up on a risky situation and you're okay with using cheesy saves, you can quick save yourself through everything.
Yeah, I ended up using that.
I use it a lot,
quite
yeah.
a bit. Yeah. Just because I don't like replaying things, and getting caught is pretty harsh. The way that those items are sparse is there's at least like a little bit of like a weird, interesting interplay there, because the way you get more of them is by fully exploring the level. In order to safely explore the level, you have to use more items unless you're really good,
right?
Or really patient. So like they do kind of end up balancing out. It's not like I don't think they're well balanced. I just wish that I had kind of a little bit more of like a verb set for a little bit more agency or incentive to use that stuff.
And I think that's probably my one kind of limiting element in this game. Whereas in Deus Ex, like, you know, Deus Ex hooked the shit out of me. That game is perfect.
Well, it's you know, the greatest game of all time. It's like, yeah, literally it's perfect. Really up there.
But
yeah.
It just feels like the main core piece of gameplay that this is missing, being inspired by a game like that, is that there's no range takeout. There's no actual combat, you know. So in terms of just the, you know, the level exploring and the stealth element, the fact that it's solely stealth and there's no combat way of doing any of the level stuff really limits your verb set. And if stealth isn't your game, if you're not a huge stealth person, if Thief wasn't your favorite thing in the world, then this might catch you off guard there.
Like, because it's 100% a stealth game. Mm-hmm. And even Thief, you have a sword, you have arrows to shoot people from a distance. If you headshot them, you can knock them out.
Right.
Like, Thief has more combat than that. Thief had less than Deus Ex. This has even less than that.
Yep.
So it's not, you know, you do, it does answer part of my question where it's like, hey, I have to get in this building. There are a lot of different routes into the building. You know, there are hacking and kind of, you know, sneaky ways in, but there are not that third option.
Exactly.
Which is kind of a bummer for me, but I don't think makes the game worse.
No. Yeah.
I think if you're a stealth guy, like, this is great. This is probably,
agree,
you know, a 100% must play. I can't get us totally out of it without talking a little bit about the aesthetic part, which is just like really great. Like, the lo-fi part is really cool, but just the neon lights everywhere, the way the characters are represented as neon lights,
yeah,
and the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's so good.
It's really good. It's actually like there's a band that's called the Home Conversion,
uh-huh,
that does the soundtrack. A band I am going to go check out after this, because it's like lyrical kind of pop versions with using some of the sound palette from Hotline Miami,
mm-hmm,
like that kind of like super lush 80s synths.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, it's one of my favorite things. And I love that, like, you'll go into places where people have radios on where they're playing this, and you can just walk up and turn it off if you want.
Yep.
Like, you know, and it just makes everything like spooky and silent. The music that plays when you get caught is really perfect. The music that plays when you boot up the game purposely quotes Deus Ex, like the little plinking synthesizers,
right,
there are very similar to the UNATCO theme. You know, and I think that's intentional. It is a real love letter to that kind of like a cyberpunk in the kind of big over the top 80s version of cyberpunk.
Absolutely agree.
Which I really love. Like, that's an aesthetic I respond to.
Yeah, I'm a fan. So yeah, I totally super recommend the game. I'm really enjoying it. I hope that I manage to find time to finish it up, even though it's pretty, like, it is only, like you said, probably 7-8 hours probably.
Or even maybe a little bit less.
But each level feels really like a big time commitment.
Well, it's also, it's similar to like Devil Daggers, and that's tense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, stealth is tense. And it's not like it's instant fail when you get, and the thing I'm worried about in knowing about what comes later, and this isn't strictly a spoiler, but like, you know, start off with people with melee weapons so you can run away, and then they get guns. And then I've seen screenshots like right on the website of these mechs, and it feels like they're just upping the stakes for getting caught as the game goes on, which I am kind of bummed out by.
Yeah.
Because it's, as of now, in the beginning of the game, if you get caught, you can run back somewhere, do this really satisfying little slide, which is directly lifted from Eldritch. Like, I think this is the same engine.
That's true, yeah.
You do this like real fun little slide, get under something and hide out, and it's really satisfying. But if that thing's just going to gun me down and getting caught equals death, I'm just going to end up save scumming throughout the whole thing.
Right.
And I hate being caught equaling death.
Mm.
Like, that's the worst thing to my mind that a stealth game can do.
Yeah. I think it's plenty enough that they already just ding your score. Like, that should be what it is.
It's like the last, it's like the human resources machine thing. Like, make it a gradient. Don't make a failure success be a binary, you know, where it's just like you either failed or didn't. Make it like something where, like, for people who want to engage in the systems of the higher level play, reward them, but don't punish the people who are just tourists and just want to get through it, especially something that's narrative focused.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly. Not true. You know, human resources machine, getting through it's still a puzzle, but like, you're not going to try to get through human resources machine to see the story.
Right.
I really very much want to see the end of the story, but I'm worried that I'm just going to end up having to save scum it really bad, because it's just going to get like that. One of the screenshots, there's a plane. God, I hope that plane doesn't fly over areas and like,
oh god,
shoot you. You know, like, I don't need that level kind of lethality for a stealth game.
Yeah,
At least, you know, at least my perspective.
I agree
on that. So
yeah, I will say I'm pretty sure that there is a pretty wide gamut difficulty selector at the start of the game.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's something you can manipulate like in the middle if you've decided it's now gotten too hard for you. But yeah, there is sort of just like a narrative mode where you're really at almost no risk, if none at all, to fail, have a fail state, so you can just get through the story if you want to. But I mean, I do enjoy the stealth. I just don't want the difficulty to get so out of hand that what little stealth ability I do have, and you know, the stress level I already have in the current levels, I don't need that to be multiplied many times over.
Yeah, I would love it if like, when games have difficulty meters, I really feel like you should only really do a difficulty selector if you can change it mid game.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the game, you're doing tutorial shit. You have no conception of what normal or hard means.
Right.
You know, so like, it's asinine to not be able to let you change it in the middle of the game.
And we don't know if that's true, so we're not dinging this game for that.
Yeah, but totally. I'm just kind of ranting about it in general.
It's that's definitely
I think
a thing.
I think most games have fixed that, but
That's definitely sort of a mostly a problem of the past, it seems. Like, that was something early games did a lot of, and people sort of realized how stupid that was.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, hopefully you can change it anytime.
Yeah.
So we just have a couple of stories about, or a couple of spoilers about where the story goes, without much there. So,
yeah.
If you like this show, you can rate and review it on iTunes. You can kick us a couple bucks at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things are appreciated.
And Slack always, you know, of course we have some rewards for you, including our Slack channel, which we talk about a lot, where you can come chat with us. We're always in there hanging out and talking about games. Gary's in like 5,000 channels, but I'm mostly in the one. So
yeah, I'm mostly in all of them.
Yeah.
That's just a mere $2 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you can do is tell friends about it, which is really appreciated.
Right. And then you can come hang out with us or make suggestions on our social media points too, on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or @comradepodcast on Twitter, and the submission form at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. Quick admin note, we're taking a skip episode because I'm going to be in Illinois.
Yes.
And I don't want to have to worry. I'm already getting ahead for Watch Out for Fireballs. I don't want to worry about playing, you know, 6 games instead of like 3 or 4. So right. next time we'd usually have an episode where there's not going to be one, and then we're coming back after that with 80 Days and the howler.
Yeah, so we'll do some mobile games, some stuff that Gary might be able to get ahead on while he's out on vacation, although we're not trying to eat up too much of his vacay time. And then after that, we'll be back with some bigger games again that are as of yet undecided.
Yes. Big year for the stuff. I forgot, and I think December Divinity 2 comes out.
Yeah,
so I'm excited about that.
Luckily we lucked out on this one. Torment 2 is getting pushed out to Q1 of 2017.
That's nice too.
But we do actually have a date. I was afraid it was going to come out this year, and I'd have no time to figure out what the hell we're going to insert it. So right at the start of a new year is a good time, because we like to get sort of some stuff wrapped up and then
do our end of year thing.
Yep.
And Nick, you should beat Divinity before Divinity 2
God,
comes out.
Yes. To be honest with you, I need to beat Torment before Torment 2 comes out.
Yeah, beat Torment and Divinity.
All right.
You have work. We're cut out for
I've
you.
Got some work to do.
If I see the Steam thing that pop up and say you're playing CSGO, I'm going to send a fucking dog to your house.
So, all right. Send roars by. I'll pet him.
Yeah, just like, you, I hear you're splatting dudes into Gibbs. I need them Gibbs.
Roars comes by with just a note on his collar.
Yeah.
Like, stop playing CSGO.
Yeah, it just says duck, and then you look up and there's a little red dot on your forehead. a CSGO duck.
All right, so a little ditty here, and then we'll talk just a little bit about what we've seen of the Neon Struck story so far.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, I've only gotten to the level with the hacker where you go to meet them, find out that the apartment complex or his little safe house has been raided, and as soon as you initiate conversation with him, the whole place automatically spawns full of people, full of everywhere. So
the which is so essentially like, you know, you're an agent, you find out the kind of theming of this, you know, you find out that your organization has been implanting chips. It's a surveillance society, Snowden kind of, yep, NSA storyline. And there's all kinds of like little nods to this. If you like look at news terminals, there are characters called the Strangers.
Yeah.
You can run into. Yeah, who are really cool, and they're kind of hidden in each level, and they do a lot to try to get you to explore. But essentially it is a story about that, and you kind of learning to fight back, hooking up with this underground. I'm into that part, you know, like you find out your safe house is not safe. You do a mission to get out of there. You eventually end up in a city where you check in with some old friends of yours. They actually betray you.
Oh.
In kind of like a non-violent, non-gameplay kind of cutscene style scene. Where I start playing is I'm in a dream sequence where I'm like confronting versions of myself that are giving me missions to sneak into this like fortress where the guards have gigantic devil horns.
Wow,
it's pretty weird.
Did not think this game was going to go that route.
Me either. But it is just like, it's kind of cool. Like it's floating in the middle of nowhere. There's like a bridge that goes over it and it's over a big void.
Wow.
I was kind of hoping for, it would have been actually a really good place timing wise because the mission before that was really hard,
mm-hmm,
in order to just have like an interactive cutscene. And it's just, they're doing this kind of character building moment as another stealth level.
Oh, damn it.
And that's when I was like, I kind of need a break from this.
Right.
I was kind of try to power through and beat it before we recorded, but it was just a little bit too much.
Yeah. I think it does need more kind of break sections. And I think it would have done well with a hub world, like you said, just some place of familiarity that you could come back to, which it felt like the agency was going to be, and that, yeah, you'd be able to kind of explore bits, like a little bit more of it each time you got there. But then of course the whole sort of twisty bit of you getting cast out of the agency happens. So being, I understand she's on the run, but I think that hiding undercover in some form of regular space would have done this game well.
I think so too. Like it just every game should take the Deus Ex method of doing that, because Deus Ex has the perfect amount of like downtime.
Yeah.
Up until like the last third where you kind of go mission after mission. But for a long time, like you're always going back to Hong Kong or you're going back to New York.
Right.
And it's just this nice mix of like high tension and low tension gameplay where they're just you're put into a few too many places in this game where like everyone just automatically is out for blood.
Yeah.
You know, which I get, like I'm glad they don't mix those up. You know, it's not like you're in some areas, this person's a guard, this person isn't, because the way they identify guards is they have flashlights.
Yeah.
But from a distance or from certain angles, that's not super easy to see. And I would hate to have to try to differentiate them between regular people.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wish there was a little bit more downtime.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
But pretty good overall. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I'm going to beat it because I'm ahead on Watch Out Fireballs for now,
mm-hmm,
and I only have a couple more hours left. So
yeah, the story is pretty intriguing. So I want to find out where it goes.
I dig it, and also I like listening to it.
Yeah,
like it's an aesthetic I like being in.
There was,
and I liked Eldrick a lot too. Like I like this guy and I want to support, yeah, this company.
There was one song playing on the radio that I was just like, oh geez, this is a Gary song.
Yes.
Like it was so good.
Yeah, they're real jams. The soundtrack I found it on YouTube.
Nice.
And have been putting a bunch of them on Twitter. So
fantastic.
Good shit.
All right.
That's probably about it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.